It really does look like she's in that little aesthetic looking room. I don't even know what it is.
I know, because it kind of looks like that's like a, oh, it's a vase. I don't know what I thought I was looking at.
The you thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's like the speakers there and like a record player on the floor.
It's just some a cushions. Jam sesh room.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
What have you been up to? Crystal, did you fall? It sounds like you fell. You tripped on something.
She can't hear you.
Oh.
Well, now she can. What did you say about me?
You probably tripped and fell.
She said a lot of bad shit.
That's fine. It's literally being recorded, so I'll get you later, bitch.
You start new job tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yes. So tomorrow.
Oh my God.
From home. And they said that, like, I'm going to have Skype meetings with my HR orientation and like make sure IT helps me set up my computer and all of that. Cause I want to have all that done before I go into the office on Wednesday. So, nice. So I'm working, but yet I don't have to like get up too early. So my first meeting is at 9:30. So good.
How cool. I love that.
So I'll just make sure I have like really cute jewelry so you know my top half looks great.
Yeah.
And then
you could be pantsless.
Yeah, or shorts. But yes. I live with a lot of people. I can't do that. But you better believe if I didn't, I would. That's probably the main thing I miss about that. Being by myself. Just being like, fine.
I don't have to wear pants.
It is nice.
The pants-free zone.
Yeah.
Although I'm not typically one to go pantsless.
I mean, am. But it's not. But it's good that you can, though, is my point.
I can.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about, like if you're getting ready for a shower, like, oh, crap, I forgot something in my room or what, or in the living room, let me go run and get it. So, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or if, like, oh, I don't have anything. Oh, it's fine. Let me just go get, like, it's not a big deal. The option of that, having the option is nice.
Yes, ma'am. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Let me switch out my notebooks.
Do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode in our Oscar Rewind series. We're looking back at the 2010 Best Picture nominees and giving our prudent, insightful, and unfiltered thoughts. I'm your host, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And today we're talking an education, a coming-of-age story about a teenage girl in the 1960s suburban London and how her life changes with the arrival of a playboy nearly twice her age. An Education was nominated for 3 Oscars, lead actress for Carey Mulligan, adapted screenplay for Nick Hornby, and of course, Best Picture. This is An Education. Our first time watching?
No.
Nope.
Same.
Yay! Okay, good.
I feel like it's been a while.
See how we think about this movie as women of our ages, as opposed to women girls. Of that young age. Girls, yes. I remember thinking, I love this actress when I first watched it. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan of Carey Mulligan since this movie. This movie's the reason why she's my favorite actress. Because at the time, I was like, I don't know why I like her. I just like her. I like what she is, and now watching as an adult, I'm like, she's so dynamic, and she's like very in control as an actress and as a character, and I love that. But at the same time, her youthfulness and her naivete is, like, not perceived as, like, a bad thing. Because she's also, like, curious. Which I love. Yeah, this to me, it's a lot better than I remember, actually.
Oh.
Joy, you have different thoughts?
No, it's so interesting having, like, a different perspective as, like, a woman of a certain age and not, like, a teenager. Because, like,
What are you talking about? We're all 19. We're babies.
We have not lived life at all. Not that I have a necessarily a different opinion. I just, the different perspective kind of, like, you know, has a lot of influence on my opinion. I do think it was very, very good. I like that. It's like, yes, she's curious and yes, she wants to know. And, like, I don't know. I think I have a lot of empathy for this girl because I'm like, I was naive and young once and idealistic and was like, oh yes, I would love a cultured man to just, like, come in and sweep me off my feet and just be like, oh, look at all the cool stuff I can show you, where we can go, do all these things. And, like, yeah, I was a dumb girl once. Like, I'm not the smartest yet, but still, like, I understand her choices. And being this age, I couldn't help but be like, oh no, like, don't do it. And just be like, wow. Oh my God. I'm so glad it's, like, TV that I can, like, talk to versus, like, if I was, like, looking at myself at this age again and just being like, well, don't do that. That's not good. It's so, such a weird, like, such an interesting experience because I'm, like, watching her. Thinking of me, thinking of, like, all, like, girls of this age who have that, like, idea in their brains. It's such a, like, weird, like, deja vu of, like, somebody that, like that person exists.
Yeah. This movie holds a special place in my heart. This came out in 2010, 2011. I was graduating high school around this time. And I was really starting to develop my own, like, taste in things and my own opinions. And I feel like this is one of the first movies I went to by myself that was, like, an independent film. It wasn't Mamma Mia. It wasn't Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. Those were my first two movies when I got my car.
The best movie.
Like, your first indie movie.
Yeah, this was, like, my first, like, oh, this looks interesting. Let me go try this out. And I loved it. So I really appreciate that it was a good film that propelled that passion for me. And it's still a good film that holds up. But, yeah, watching it now, I couldn't help but think, like, this is such, like, it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls being put into a box and being told what to do and what they can't do. And the shiny pretty man comes to whisk her away and show her what the world is made of. And I was the girl in high school who was obsessed with Pretty Little Liars, and my favorite relationship was Ezra and Aria. Like,
oh God.
I was obsessed with them. And that, for Crystal, that was her teacher. She was having a relationship with her teacher. The actors had great chemistry. But also, like, my little pea-sized brain was like, I don't care that it's wrong. It's hot.
Right.
Listen, you were young. That is not your fault.
Rewatching it now, I'm like, oof, you really are just a creep. I mean, you're hot, and I'm still attracted to you, but
yeah, I think
use a creep.
As a young person, I was like, this is not right, and it feels wrong. But I wasn't, at the same time, like, no, I wasn't as quick to be like, I'm not watching this. Because watching this now, his courtship towards her, his pursuing her, I was so creeped out the entire time. I was like, I hate this. I don't want to watch it. Like, when they're in the hotel room for the first time, they're hanging out. And he's like, can I see them? I was like, I'm going to barf. And it's like, I know, because it's through her perspective, so it's told in, like, a romantic way. everything with that was grossing me out so bad. And it, I don't remember it affecting me that much as a young person, a younger person. So if anything different from then to now, it's that I was so creeped out.
I think for me, it was when I first watched this film, I identified with her. And I was like, this could be me. I would totally fall for, like, I would totally fall for a man who came and showed me culture in my small little town. Of course. but now as a woman in her 30s, I am more protective. I'm like protective of her. And it's like, no, I want to save you from this. However, I will say that what surprised me about watching this back was, yes, he's creepy. And yes, he's a predator. But he didn't push her into doing things she wasn't ready for. And he wasn't, like, aggressive with her in that way.
Honestly,
and that was... No, I'm not saying that's good. I was surprised by it. I was like, this is, you know, this could so easily have been more... what's the word I'm looking for? It could have been a, like, juicier, meatier story of the man who's, like, courting this young girl on a... Like what?
Like predatory. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it could have been way more like aggressive, and it wasn't. And I think that's why, as a young girl, I was kind of swept away in this story.
I think in my head, because I watch too many cult things, I see it as he's just grooming her to make her feel like this is okay. I didn't.
Well,
force
now
her to do that,
yes.
So well, yeah. I just see it as like, I don't know. when it comes to this kind of stuff. Not that you're excusing it, Anna, but, like, I don't, there's no good about it at all. Like, just because he didn't force her to have sex with him doesn't mean that he's a good person. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not what you said. But I think it's important to distinguish, because some people will say, try to pick good things about situations like that. And nothing is good about this situation. Not one bit.
No.
You know? Maybe he was... kind to give her a ride in the rain because she's just standing there. Like, girl, if you look down the street, just walk.
Just walk.
Why are you standing at the... What are you doing? Okay, that was nice. But after everything after that, that was a problem. But anyway, sorry. I just had to jump in.
You know what I think is interesting? I think that with the way and how he plays that, like, hotel scene and just like the things afterwards, and she's like, I don't want to have sex until I'm 17 on my birthday, blah, 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 whatever. It's, to me, I'm still hearing, at least I don't know from my experience, I'm still hearing like a it's not like she's not fully consenting, and he's still pressuring her in a way that sounds like romance.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And it's like, if you're that age, to you, you're like, oh, well, he's being nice. He's not, like, pushing me. So let me give him something. But you're still not fully consenting to, like...
Right. Absolutely.
Which is, like, you know, that's very much, like, I don't know. For me, at least, in, like, TMI, like, in, like, early, naive, like, sexual experiences, like, it's not, like... It's not so cut and dry. It's not true. Like,
no.
Yes, no, pause, red light, green light, whatever. Like,
and that's where the gray area is dangerous, because he's an adult and she's a child, you know?
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think what I was trying to say was not so much like the story-wise, but as like the script-wise, like the filmmaking of it all.
Yeah.
They didn't push it and make it more aggressive. Correct. To make it sell better. I was not talking about like, oh, he's not that
creepy. No, I knew you weren't. I know you weren't excusing him.
But I just wanted it, like, that's where my head was. It was not in the...
Yeah, let's clarify.
Just
the
asking
audience.
To
None
see her
None of us
boobs.
Approve these actions, okay?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Also, I think what helps that is... I know you're wrong, Rose, I'm sorry. But I think what helps that is the female director. That is
Yes.
A male director... It's clear. A male director would have taken this in a... Maybe not a way different direction, but it would have been a...
They would have pushed it more.
It would have felt different, like, internally. I think even though it was written by Nick Hornsby is the writer, a male writer, but it had, based on a female memoir directed by a woman. It being directed
by
a woman.
She had a lot of input on the script. Like, she gave notes the entire way.
You feel the feminine touch in the choices, because it's her perspective, and it never really leaves her perspective, and I think that's smart.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, like, to me, I was like, oh, this isn't, like, horrible. But then she's, like, on my 17th birthday, and I was like, whoa. He's definitely, I started doing the math in my head, and I was like, this man is at least twice your age. At least. And that's being generous, because his hairline is receding. He could be more. He could be less. I don't know. But I was like, once we got to, like, her actually explicitly saying her age, I was like, oh, Carey Mulligan doesn't just look like a baby. She's a literal baby. Like, yeah. The having adult female perspective on this now, I'm not judging Jenny, and I wouldn't do that because I have empathy for a girl in that situation. I have empathy for, like, that situation. So I think that, again, had there been a male director or more, like Anna said, a more aggressive, like, heavy-handed way of doing this, I think it would have put that tone on it. But I think the director did such a good job of, like, no, like, even if you haven't experienced girlhood, even if you haven't experienced, like, teenage girlhood or, you know, growing up, you know, coming of age as a young woman, I think that the film does a good job of being able to interpret that tone correctly, to where you're sympathizing with her rather than judging her. Because when it was getting towards the end, towards the resolution, I was like, oh my God, like, this could be, like, horrible. Like, her dreams are crushed. She, like, gave everything up for him. And, like, she could end up, like, I don't know, way worse than it did. And that's where my brain was expecting it to be. And I think because of all the other films that we've seen, mm-hmm. with similar storylines, that's where my brain was going. That's where it assumed it was going. But I think that's where the script does a good job. And, like, no, like, we're not going to leave her just like that. Like, we're not going to judge her based on the choices that she made. She's still going to be able to have a chance in her life. And I thought about it a little bit during the movie, but I'm thinking about it more now. But I'm like, not to be that person, but, like, is it also because she's, like, a middle-class white girl in England, and she's allowed to be able to come back from her quote-unquote poor choices versus, like, had we seen this story somewhere else, or even just, like, somewhere else in England where it was, like, a lower-class, like, girl of color, like, would she have had this same ending? Would the director and the screenwriter have allowed her to have the same ending?
Maybe, because she is, like, they say several times, she's the top of her class. You know, their teachers are like, you make working here worth it because all these other dummies, it's, like, hard to do. So, like, I'm not saying, who knows, because that movie
right.
maybe does exist, I don't know. But I feel like the possibilities are yes, just because she was highly educated.
Yeah.
A student, not just some, like, normal whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was gifted.
Gifted, thank you.
I'm trying to remember the brilliant thought I had.
Dang it.
Oh, it was. Okay, I remember. I haven't seen the full video. I've only seen a little bit of the clip of the new Hollywood Roundtable with the older women. It was, like, Nicole Kidman, Naomi Watts, Jennifer Aniston, Jodie Foster, Sofia Vergara, and I feel like there's
the one actress from Shogun.
Kara Sawai or something. I forgot her first name.
I don't know her name. I have yet to watch the show.
I'm so sorry.
I'm waiting.
Anyway, Jodie Foster had something to say where she was saying that in her time in Hollywood, all the time she would get scripts written by male writers, and all of the women were traumatized by, like, sexual assault and rape and molestation. And she was like, it's like, that's the only way men can see women having complexity is because that's what they've been through. And I think, you know, had this been that's what we're, like, trained to see and expect in film, because that's what mm-hmm. male writers and male directors have put forward for had put forward for so long, that seeing the way Peter Sarsgaard's David approaches Carrie Mulligan and doesn't, like, outright attack her, or is it more predatory, I think is, it was, I don't want to say revolutionary because it's not, but it was just different. And I think that's why it hit so different, because in a field dominated by male directors and writers, this could have been way more creepy, like we were saying.
Yeah.
And I think this PSA for everyone, if you're listening, that anyone who approaches you that way is probably more dangerous than, like, a overly physical one, I feel. Because they can get deep into your brain. And that, because this time watching it, I noticed, like, how he was using everything she was telling, because she was telling him, oh, yeah, I'm an orchestra, and I play this, and I want to go to Paris, and blah, blah, blah. And he's using all of this. The next day, like, oh, I have friends. We're going to go to Paris. Would you like to go? Oh, we're going to go see these people perform. Like, she's just feeding him all the ammo he needs. And that's not to say that's her fault. He just knows how to get it out of people and that.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, this is a really good script because it's really tight. And, like, fast forward later to when she's speaking to his wife, I believe it's Sally Hawkins. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're young. You're one of the young ones. Or, like, you're not family way, are you? Thank God that's happened before. Like, this poor woman is just like,
he's been through it.
Yeah. And
well, and even his friends are fed up with it.
Yeah.
Dominic Cooper was like, I'm not speaking
also
to him,
like, because they're crappy people too for not, like, saying something.
Yeah, they're worse.
Like, yeah, come on,
bad people keep,
you're
bad
feeding
company
into this, you're part of the problem, like,
yeah,
ugh, awful.
But I did love the way that she called out his weak game.
Yes!
I didn't know it was such a big deal for it only lasting so little.
You know, like, what's funny?
Yes, girl.
I love that. That was my favorite.
Like I said, I saw this movie back in 2010 or whatever, and that line where she says, like, all that poetry and all those songs about something that's last no time at all has stuck in my head forever. I don't know why, but it always, I think about something and I'm like, I don't know why. It just, that line in particular just never leaves my head. So when it happened this time, I was like, yes. Queen behavior.
Two pump jump.
Because then he's like, oh, oh yeah.
That's it? It's like,
oh, honey. Fantastic. Love her.
Which, like, goes to show, like, just because you're older and technically more experienced doesn't mean you know how to do it correctly. Like, it just.
No. Which proves that why he preys on the young girls in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That's something that I think that we're more open to talking about now is, like, having, like young girls or young women near you and, like, letting them know, be like, hey, you're 17 and that 23-year-old guy's talking to you. There's a reason why he's talking to you. It's because he can't get someone his own age. He's not smart enough. He's not cool enough. He's definitely not good at anything enough to be with someone his own age. Like, that shows that he's lacking. Not that you are great on your own, but he's not like, ooh, you're so cool. You're so mature for your age. Bitch, shut up. You're just dumb for your age. Like, I can't.
Trash. Burn them all. Burn them all.
Put them in the trash. Throw them in the trash.
Like, burning them all is not enough.
Learn something.
Like, I need them
to learn something. Be better.
Like, be on fire for the rest of their lives. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Eternal flames.
Yeah.
Perpetual fire dick. Like, their penises should always feel itchy and on fire and scratchy and burny. Yeah.
Cosine.
For real. Also, come on, like, her first time and she's in Paris and it's beautiful and you can't even last that long, like, bitch, like, give her something. God.
I did say, I was like, this whole montage in Paris is the vibe that I want, because wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was like, this.
I have to admit, that's where I would be naive girl and I'd be like,
I was won over in that moment. The montage won me over. I was like, oh, man, I'm in. Yeah. Although I will say, when it was happening, I kept thinking, I'm in a sexy French depression every time. Which is not what was happening, but whatever.
I mean, afterwards, yeah.
She's on her way to a sexy French depression. You know who was also great? My uncle. Uncle
yes,
Alfred.
Aww.
You know what? Wait, go ahead. What?
I do love seeing him.
He's so great.
They're both in Promising Young Woman together as well.
Is he British? Is that a natural British accent? He is British. Like British accent British?
What other would you mean?
I just mean like he was born in Britain and then raised somewhere else. I was just like the British accent. It was so weird to hear him with the British accent because the majority of things I've seen him in, he doesn't have one. So I was like, what?
It's called acting joy.
I know he's great at it because I was like, this is new.
I believe he's Spanish, and he grew up in the UK.
Okay.
I heard because of that video I sent you guys of him talking about his father.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me cry.
Yes, he is British, born in Paddington, London, United Kingdom.
Your accent is so good.
He's very handsome in this picture. Wow.
I shouldn't say anything because my accents are shit. I can't do anything.
Yes. His parents are both immigrants. His Spanish father was a waiter and his Italian mother was a cleaner. So he's Italian and Spanish, born in the UK.
I didn't know that.
Also, reuniting our Bennett sisters, Rosalind Pike and Carey Mulligan.
Oh, that's right!
I love Rosamund Pike so much. Yeah. First of all, she was so glamorous and cool and perfect. And she has such a face for like period pieces. Like, I think the 60s might even be a little bit, that probably as far as she can go. Other than that, she has to keep it in the past. Unless she has that like super cool like bob. She's built for the bob. Like a bob suits her.
Yeah. And, the only exception is Gone Girl for you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the other one she's good in too, but like, I just feel like her face is just like so perfect in a period piece. Like that's what that face is for.
She was really good in that Netflix movie we watched. That was not great. I care a lot.
Yeah, I care.
She was good in that movie too.
She was bobbing. It was the bob.
Yeah.
If she has a bob in a modern movie, then it's good.
Yeah, she was.
But
like,
if she does not have a bob in a modern movie, her face does not work.
I was like scared of her. I was like, oh, girl.
I know, but like in a cool way. She was great. No, she was so good in this. I love her so much. I want her to do a million things.
She's in some show right now, isn't she?
Yes, I haven't gotten around to it because it's on Amazon.
Aren't you like president of her fan club? How dare you?
Slacking. No.
I know, I need to get on it. No, she was so great. And also, I forgot Dominic Cooper was in this too. But he's so cute.
Yeah. You know what? I feel that Dominic Cooper and Carey Mulligan had more chemistry than her and Peter Skarsgård.
Yeah, when they were dancing, I was like...
dancing, and I was like...
Also, is it maybe because Dominic Cooper, like, looks and is younger, so I was thinking, like, they're more...
Maybe, yeah. And maybe that was on purpose.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Orlando Bloom until, like, the last minute.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Orlando Bloom had to drop out for some reason, and so Dominic Cooper, I think, was also in the running, so they called him.
I mean, worthy candidates, both of them.
Which makes sense if you look at it, because I felt like Dominic Cooper and Peter Sarsgaard, like, they didn't fit, almost. It felt like Dominic Cooper was too young.
It did, to me, like, Dominic Cooper next to Rosamund Pike and Peter Skarsgård made him seem a little younger, but only because I was also thinking about him in Mamma Mia, so I was like, isn't he, like, not that far off from her age?
Yeah.
Like, he can't be their age, but, you know, whatever, I'll allow it.
Thank God you'll allow it.
The what?
Thank God you'll allow it.
Yeah, he can go on. Okay, her dad, as much as I love your deal, he was so triggering to me because a frugal man trying to control his family. I was like, I can't watch this. This is painful.
Fair enough.
But he did. He did a great job because I was genuinely not happy with him.
Mission accomplished.
Genuinely, I had a bad taste in my mouth. It was not pleasant. But I was like, yes, this is realistic. This is exactly what a person like this would say.
But I do like how she was like, she stood up to him. Like, even if it was mm-hmm. like little one-off marks, like she was never really, again, she was in control. She was like, yeah, he's my dad, but at the same time, I'm not going to like let him talk to me like that or whatever. Like, I love that scene where she was like, well, you're not any better. You're about to yeah. marry me off to him. Like, no big deal. You're yeah. also part of that. I love that you called everybody out. I love that.
I think that's also part of the script that's so refreshing. It's like that yeah. she's not just going to like stand by and like let other people talk to her that way. Like, she's going to take some control of her life in the meantime.
I think it's the product of her being a very educated girl, young woman in an area of not very many well-educated young people. Yeah. I loved all of her arguments with both her father and with the headmistress, Emma Thompson, of her saying, like, well, what's the point? What was the point of you pushing me to Oxford if all I'm going to do is be miserable when I'm done? What was the point yeah. of you teaching me so that I can become a teacher? That's not what I want. So then what else is there? I'm a woman. I can't do anything else.
I want much more than this provincial life. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, literally, I was hearing her in that, and I was like, she's right.
I was like, go off, girl. Yeah for yeah. real.
She didn't have an answer for her.
And then yeah. she was like, well, someone else is going to come and ask that question, so you better have an answer ready prepared, Emma Thompson, because it's going to happen.
I do love Emma Thompson. Love, oh my God. Emma Thompson is a gem. She's amazing. I love her. Great writer, great actress, great everything.
Great human.
I would be yeah. very intimidated, though, if she was the headmistress. I'd be like, I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about something funny. So the first time that he takes her out with his friends and they go to that jazz club for dinner. I hate to say it, but that singer just ruined a Sunday Kind of Love for me.
You know, I thought it was January Jones. And I was like, can she sing? I'm so confused. I had to look it up because I was like, is that her? It's not.
She was like all aesthetic and no vocal talent, because I was like, this is the worst rendition of this song. And like, I mean, if you're going to sing that song is sung by like a very, very talented person. So like, you're inevitably going to be compared to the original, and the original is so good that if you're going to be bad, just don't do it. Just skip it. Just don't put it on the set list. Because the whole time I was like, I'm sure they're paying a lot for this dinner and a show, but this show is not cutting it. That dinner better be good.
Another, like, to jump off that, I think Peter Skarsgård's accent was awful. I was like, why is he speaking a British accent? What?
Skarsgård.
Whatever. He can't speak either, so it's fine. I was like, I don't... He didn't bring anything to the table that made me think, yes, he needs to be in this role. Just get some hot British actor to do it. Like, why him? He was struggling with that accent, clearly. And it was just like, babe. Babe, come on. And I saw in the credits just now they had two dialect coaches. Babe. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I did? What I did appreciate of the casting choice of him is that, like, it wasn't like a super hot, super suave, mm-hmm. super sexy,
realistic
like,
looking
British, right, yeah. British hunk of whatever. It was just like a realistic, like, oh, this is a man who has a job and has some extra cash. Okay, he's just like basic and boring, like the lady singing the song. There's nothing extra. It's just pretty basic. I mean, you have a wallet that just makes you more attractive. Yeah. You have plane tickets to Paris. I'm attracted, mostly.
When I first saw this film, this movie made me fall in love with him.
Oh no, sorry.
No. I'm not like a huge Peter Sarsgaard fan. But I do like him. I do agree that this time around, I was like, the accent is weak. And it doesn't fit him very well. I don't know, maybe if they were trying to give him more of like a less regional thing or something. I don't know. It just felt very flat.
He just didn't seem like a British man to me, which is weird because they like white, but like he just didn't feel, I don't know. But I agree with what Joy said about making him just like a basic looking dude. That was smart.
Yeah, he didn't have like a six pack and he wasn't like super built. He was just a dude.
Yeah.
And I really did appreciate Dominic Cooper's character calling her out at the end and being like, well, you saw us steal shit and you didn't say anything. So how are we the bad guys?
Oh, yeah, because then, well.
You were complicit, too. I'm not saying.
Okay, fine. But another thing, too, like he tells her, Peter tells Carrie, that, like, you know, this life that we're leading, it's not, you know, this is how I do what I got to do to give you these things, you know, like.
Yeah.
Is it wrong? Maybe, but like at the same time, you enjoyed it.
Down so. The clown.
Yeah, and then at that point, he kind of like said, "This is what happens. If you're cool, then we can go home." Again, that's what cults do. They tell you, "This is it. Go back to your boring life. You won't want to come back with that." Like that's cult behavior. Anyways, I'm sorry.
I have not watched enough cult stuff.
I watched too many.
Pick up on these things.
They're literally all the same. They drain you of all your resources, of your love, and make you think that the people that in this cult are what you everything you need, and then release you into the wild, and then think, and then make you think like, oh, everything I need is back in there. So then you willingly go to the cult yourself. It's the same thing.
Sorry. Yeah, really great book called. I've talked about this every time we talk about cults, cultish. By Amanda something, I believe. She talks about how, like, the language of cults is literally in everything. It's in, like, the workout groups you join because they have a special name for everything and they want to make you feel special. So if you get the X amount of things and you're on the award program and now you're special and you get this and you get that, but only you understand it because you're part of the group. Like, it's just a cult is isolating. It's pushing out everything else and just isolating you into whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you can go back to your boring life in your school. Go back to revising Latin. Sure, have fun.
Like, that isn't, like, a super cool thing. Like,
yeah.
That is cool. Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Rosamund Pike. They're not even going to be speaking it in a few years.
She's so silly, and I love her for it. She got to do a silly, fun thing.
You want to go to college to read English books? She was very confused when she said that.
And then I love when she dropped out. She was like, now you can read magazines.
Yeah. That was so funny. I'm trying to think
You know what this what this movie had? Good cinematography.
Yeah.
There was some really, really nice shots. My favorite, I think, is the one where Jenny's laying on the floral carpet singing next to the record player and it just pans along the whole floor. Lovely. Beautiful. Delicious. Mm-hmm. So pretty.
I like the perspective change from Carrie Mulligan through the car window to the reflection of the old lady on the balcony looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
That one was really, yeah, it was really, that was like a two-part shot. It was really pretty.
Yeah, love that.
You know what I looked up actually from that scene? I don't remember the word that he says, but he says a word in reference to the Black people moving into that apartment. And I looked it up, and it's apparently a Yiddish slur for Black people.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I've never heard that word before. Let me Google it. And I was like, oh,
that's wow. Dang. Yeah. That's also interesting, too, how he's like, in his brain, he's helping them get an apartment. But at the same time, he's only doing it to get the other people moved out. I don't know. It seems, on the surface, that sounds like a noble deed, because he's getting them to these apartments, you know? And then the old white ladies move out and he takes their stuff. So, like, is he really doing it for them or for him? Like, it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah. He's a scammer. He's
just a scammer. At the end of the day, like, yes, he is. But he's also hoping black families get into homes, so...
But he's not doing it for the right reasons, so is he really helping them?
Oh, yeah, that's where the conundrum lies.
Yeah. Right there. I also loved the use of storytelling through her bangs.
Yes. Oh my god.
When we start them, they're very separated, and as she gets more posh and more into the world, they're very cute and mod. And then at the end, they start to phase back out.
Listen, only a woman would know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, truly. This reminds me when people didn't understand the timeline of Little Women because of Florence Pugh's bangs, like. To bangs, and then she doesn't bangs. Like, duh. Hello.
Do you not know how long they take to grow out?
They really don't. Apparently, they really don't.
You know what? The other shot that I really liked. I think it's the first time that they're in the hotel. The shot of their reflection on the dresser mirror when they're lying in bed together. Mm-hmm. And then it pans over again. Lovely.
I really loved the shot of them outside. It's when he's convincing her not to leave after they stole the map. And they're like, the building they just went into is off to the side. There's like a little, it looks like a bridge or something. The colors were really great there.
And they made good use of, you know, London and Paris and all of that.
You know, they did also a good job of like, it looked like, it didn't look super modern. It still looked like of that the filmmaking of it, or like the texture of the film, the cinematography, like the noise. There was noise enough there that it looked like it was something from the 60s versus something from now.
Yeah.
So I really like that too.
Another thing, how you were talking about how when she is with Emma Thompson and she's saying, like, you know, what is this all for? What are you teaching us for? And remembering that this is set in the 60s, when there was such a feeling of, like, the end is near and, like, we could be dying at any moment. That also attributes to her idea of, like, I want to live my life now because I don't know if I'm going to be living enough to do whatever I got to do. So I think that's another interesting part of it. Helps her, like, it's college the right path for me because, like, what if I don't get to go to Paris if I die? Like, it's just interesting setting it in the 60s and having that, like, era of, like, worry about, like, the end is near, you know?
Yeah.
But then also how awful Emma Thompson was about Jewish people.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. And her father.
Yeah. Yikes, spikes.
I don't know. I didn't realize there was such an anti-Semitism movement like that post World War II in the UK. Like, maybe there still is. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
also interesting that Emma Thompson insinuated that if they found out that she had lost her virginity, she would be kicked out.
Right. Like,
yeah.
First of all, how would you know?
I thought she meant, like, if she got pregnant.
I felt like she was saying, if we find out that you're here because you're pure or whatever, and if we find out you're no longer pure, you will no longer be allowed to attend here.
I guess
that was my interpretation.
I thought it was like, if you're with baby, kaput.
I guess pregnancy would be the main way they could tell.
True.
She had not been.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be knowing about her life. She'd be talking. She never shuts up.
Yeah, the whole school was like, bring me this from Paris.
I mean, to be fair, I'd be like, hey, girl, I want some Chanel. Hook me up. So fair, I guess.
For real, though, like, if you were living this cool life, you'd probably be like, yeah, and I'm going to Paris next week.
You can never shut me up.
Same.
My
life is so cool. Look.
That moment in class where she raises her hand with her ring on reminded me, is it Mona Lisa's smile? I feel like there's a similar scene.
Yeah.
Oh, where she shows off she's engaged by, like, raising her hand or something, and they're like, oh, we see it. Anyway, Great movie. I loved Mona Lisa's Smile.
I want to rewatch that one.
I've never seen that.
So cute. So cute.
I liked it.
You know what was really funny? What?
You didn't hear someone scream owie?
No.
Oh, it might have been the child over there. She's fine.
Oh.
She's fine. Oh, one of my notes is pulling a Jerry Springer, picking her up from school. Or, sorry, Jerry Seinfeld, excuse me. Pulling a Jerry Seinfeld, picking her up from school. Gross.
Oh, what a gross man.
Oh, he was another thing. Oh, and she's like, you can't convince him to take me to Paris. And he's like, yeah, I could do it. And she's like, no, he'd have you arrested. And I was like, yeah, he should, actually. All this is gross.
That was one thing that was surprising to me, only because I didn't remember it from the first time around. I didn't remember how complicit and how much her father just went along with it and was just like, yeah, like, sure, you can go to Oxford for the weekend. Or
he was getting played too
in Paris. Yeah, I know, and he totally fell for it. So
the little boy that is supposed to be her high school crush or whatever, Graham, he is adorable, and his only crime is being a teenager. That actor does such a good job of playing the adorable, whenever he's there for a birthday party and her mom serves him a cake and she drops it on the table, he's like, oh, okay, just picks it up. He's like, oh, fine, and then he eats it, and then when he realizes Peter Sarsgaard gets there and he's like, oh, gotta go, I have to do homework. He's just so awkward and cute. I was like, this guy.
Yeah.
Adorable.
He's so, totally. Yeah, exactly like a teenager. Right? So cute.
But yeah, at a time where the only major prospect for women is to get into a good marriage with a wealthy husband, her dad saw the opportunity oh, shit's made.
Yeah.
Right?
Not that she could be the one making the money, but that she could be with somebody.
I think he did mention.
Go ahead.
He did mention that he wanted her to be a lawyer.
I don't remember that.
He was like, and she's going to go to school for English or whatever. She could have gone to be a solicitor and made money. I don't know. There was something to that effect.
Because he even thinks less of Graham, because he says, who you know is what matters. And knowing people who write, and Carrie Mulligan's like, well, Graham could be one of those writers.
Yeah.
He's like, that doesn't matter. You need to know the writer. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. I really felt like that final scene where she does the voiceover was really disjointed. I did not enjoy the voiceover.
Because that was the only time it happened, right? There was that.
Yeah, it was the only time.
That was dumb. I hate when they do that.
I think if they would have just shown them on the bikes and her maybe giving him a knowing smile, would have said it all. We wouldn't have needed that little bit.
We could
bit
have said dialogue. We should go to Paris, and she's like, oh, I've never been. That would have been fine, too.
Yeah, they could have just shown the scene. Yeah.
Hello. And maybe I feel like, because that actor is not he's a well-known actor, so I feel like maybe they cast him with that scene in mind and, maybe even shot it, but then they just did B-roll.
Is he well-known now, or was he well-known then?
He just looks familiar. I don't know.
Do you remember? Let me see if I can find him.
Does every British actor looks a famous British actor?
He looks like a well-known British actor to me. He was in.
He'll look the same.
He probably isn't something I've seen.
I did read that he was somebody. I just don't remember who. Hold on.
Do, do, do. Please hold music. Do, do, do. Oh, we can't use that.
James Norton.
Sure.
James Norton. He was in Little Women. He was John Brooke.
There he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
He has done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well-known actor. I just recognized his face, and I was like, I feel like...
But this was his first thing.
Okay, but still, this was... People's first things can be big and odd. I just feel like he seemed too... pretty to just be cast as like a person as an extra, basically. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anyways, whatever. What do I know?
You know a lot.
I did read that the author of the memoir, Lynn Barber, she got to read and give notes on every step of the writing process, although they weren't guaranteeing her like that anything would change based off of her notes, but she could be involved. And she agreed and liked most of the changes. The only thing she didn't like was that they changed David's name. David was originally Simon. They changed it to David, and she didn't like it because her actual husband's name was David, and she didn't like having, you know, reliving this part of her past with the name of her actual husband.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to either. That would be weird.
The predator of my youth has the same name as my now husband.
Ooh. Yikes. I feel like they could have conceded that one thing to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, David's Henry. Such a basic name, it could have been literally anything else.
Yeah.
Really anything. Henry, Andrew,
Ethan. Or Peter, his actual name.
Peter.
Peter. You've got to believe, Peter. Are we ready to go through categories?
Yes, we are. The silence tells us.
All right. Lead actress. It's Meryl Streep in Julie and Julia, Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, Helen Mirren in The Last Station, Gabourey Sidibe in Precious, and Carey Mulligan in An Education.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
My winner so
far. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Faux show.
Yep.
Adapted screenplay. We have District 9, An Education, Precious, Up in the Air, In the Loop, and that's it. There was another line, but it was a continuation. So,
which is the better script, An Education or District 9? They're both very good.
Yeah,
they're both very different as well.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know enough of District 9 being an adapted screenplay feels silly to me because it's adapted because it was a short film before. So it's still a wholly original concept and wholly original story and idea, but because the universe and some of this like storyline, like the aliens were used previously, it's now adapted.
Well, no, it's adapted from a short film because the short film is smaller and then the big film is bigger. So they added on to it.
I don't think they're the same story. It's just the same.
Oh, it's not?
I mean, it's the same, like, it's the aliens and it's that setting, but I don't think it's, like, the same characters.
I see what you're saying. Oh, because I don't know anything about the short, so I didn't know it was different characters.
Well, the only reason I say that is because the main actor, Shartlow Copley, played a sniper in the short film where he has nothing to do with guns in the actual film. So to me, I just feel like it being adapted screenplay is a little silly because it's adapted from his previous short film, you know?
Well, you just said it's adapted. So.
Okay. I am going to vote in Education then.
I mean, Education is greatly adapted too because it's a well-told story. It's sharp, it's quick, it's tight. I don't know. I haven't read her memoir, so I don't know. But I feel like just going possibly from the screenplay, it's a well-written screenplay. And
I tried to.
Oh, you did? You tried to read it?
Yeah, but it's not available on Kindle. I would have had to order the physical copy, and I didn't have time for that. It's a short memoir.
Yeah.
But
I think when I look at these, because I don't know the source material, I just look at the actual script. Like, is it a good script? And I feel like with these two, they're both really good. So it's interesting.
That's a tough one.
Okay, and then Best Picture, which... I guess we agree with it being here.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if Avatar's here, then why couldn't An Education? I feel like An Education's a far superior movie.
Rankings. We got them?
Ooh! Actually, I didn't know. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Oh, that's not the right.
Joy, are you ready?
Yeah, I'll go.
Wow! Go.
Okay, so number three is Avatar. Four? What are we? What are, wait, we're at four? Oh, yeah, the order is wrong. I forgot. Okay. Okay, so number four, The Blind Side. Number three, Avatar. Number two is District 9. And number one is An Education. But honestly, one and two can be swapped.
I have the same order.
Mine's the same, except I have District 9 at top and Education at two. But that's a pretty solid one and two, I gotta tell you.
It is. I think those are the, for now, those are mine to beat because they're pretty good. I think, just depending on the day, I'll pick one or the other. We'll see how I feel next
You year. Indecisive? Never.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
Not even a little bit.
All right, well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back again. We've got a lot more of the season to unfold, and we can't wait to share it with you. Bye.
Bye.